our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 22, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 22, the first 16 verses. And now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to him to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you, before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Thus far the scripture reading. Mrs. Colby Slingeland was privileged to return to Bethesda in this day and in the Netherlands in the past week. Reverend C. Van Danet exchanged time for eternity at the age of 83 years. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it is for the second time on this Lord's Day that the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou granted the opportunity by renewal unto us and our children to enter those doors. And when by renewal, we as a people with unclean lips, that it may not be evil in thy most holy sight, when we draw nigh unto thee, thou who art clothed with honor, with glory, and with majesty, may it please thee to clothe us with that profound reverence, that deep humility, a profound impression of our sinnership, of our unworthiness, but also of thy greatness and of thy wonderful works. In this morning hour, then, we have heard precious things. We have seen precious things. Be the after preacher, and then by renewal we commend unto thee those fathers and mothers with their children. When it shall please thee, then on the coming Lord's Day, then the sacrament of the Lord's Supper hopes to be administered, and it is according to thy holy word that there is a time of preparation, and that is for the whole congregation. And then so necessary, not only a certain week, but that her whole life may be a preparation, a time of examination, a time of prayer, meditation, and when we may experience thy wonderful works, a time of joy and praise. Lord, may it please thee to convert the unconverted among young and old. Ah, show them how terrible, how awful it is to live unconverted without thee, without Christ, without hope in this world, and how terrible it shall be to die unconverted, to be sent eternally into everlasting darkness. Ah, Lord, may thou use thy word in this hour, that sinners may be quickened. Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations? We have the examples in the scriptures for warning, and thou hast a people upon the earth that is given to pray with the psalmist, there is an evil way with me, lead me on the way everlasting. wilt thou remember thy Zion. Thou knowest where the are encamped. Ah, may those true seekers with that godly sorrow, with that missing, with that hungering and thirsting, I'll bring them to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. 'Tis written in thy word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou wast sent. Thou wast spoken concerning a church. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Wilt thou grant the further leadings? And now it is pleased thy dear Son, for the strengthening of the most holy faith of thy people, to institute two sacraments, the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, thou knowest that true faith, what an attacks and what assaults there can be. Thou hast a people upon the earth, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And to that end, wilt thou grant a true week of preparation, of honest examination, in the light of thy holy word, asking for the leading of thy spirit to receive a little instruction, to receive tokens of thy favor, and to be given to look upon the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when the hearts may begin to burn. A special place at thy footstool, with all our hope and expectation from thee alone. And thou hast a people that has learned what it is, draw me, and we will run after thee. Lord, thou knowest who are thine, thou knowest who are not, thou knowest most perfectly. Whom thou wast given that wedding garment, and then thou also granted the arms of faith to embrace, and that rejoicing in thee with a vehement desire, that thou may receive all the honor and the glory. Lord, do bless thy holy word. Help the consistory. Bless thy word on the Lord's day, and bless thy word during the week. Do help fathers and mothers in the midst of the family circles to instruct their children, and bless also the instruction in our Christian school, Grand Traveling Mercies, and remember all those that labor therein. We commend unto thee the established churches. We remember our theological school, the instructors and the student. May their numbers be increased. And wilt thou also grant more teachers for our Christian schools. We commend unto thee all mission work, also our mission field, all those that labor thereon. Remember the Jewish people, the persecuted church, where there are so many countries where the church cannot gather freely. Lord, than in this past week, than in the Netherlands it has pleased thee to take one of thy servants out of the church militant. Ah, do remember that mourning family. Well, thou remember all the mourning ones in our midst, widowers, widows, those that have brought children to the cemetery. Well, thou remember the orphans. Remember all of our elderly. Then that was granted unto an old widow in this day, that she may return from the hospital, but she has become an older and more frail. Remember her for body and soul. I do remember the handicapped daughter in the hospital. Oh, Lord, may she be given to cry unto thee, and that it may all be used for her conversion. We commend unto thee the parents, the family circle. May it please thee to grant wisdom unto the physicians, and to remember all under the physician's care in special ways, those taking treatments, may it be blessed. Remember those that struggle with continual weariness of the body and pain. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Remember all the handicapped ones. Do bless the family circles. May love abound. And do remember prodigal sons and daughters, and those that we see no more in thy house. Oh, do keep us and our dear children under the old truth and the old ways. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Ah, work mightily and richly by thy Spirit, because when thou worketh by thy Spirit and souls are given to experience that old truth, then they shall love it, and they shall strive for it, become jealous for it. Remember land and country. Remember our federal government, where it is at a standstill at the moment. Oh, wilt thou remember this year where elections hope to be held? May it please thee to show a token of thy divine favor. Lord, we now humbly ask thee, do grant thy gracious help. May we be given to separate the precious from the vile, go from bench to bench, heart to heart. Those lawfully entered, do visit the dwellings and grant a good hour in thy house, with an impression undeserved sinned away. Ah, Lord, do it then for thy honor and for thy glory. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 81, the four stanzas. How great the goodness kept in store for those who fear thee and adore, and meek humility. How great the deeds with mercy fraught, which openly thy hand hath wrought. And what follows? Psalter 81, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 22, the verses 7 through 13, and we shall read the verses 12 and 13. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Our text words speak of the preparation for Jesus' last Passover with his disciples. And then with four thoughts, in the first place, a gracious difference manifested. Secondly, a diligent search commanded. Thirdly, a furnished room supplied. And in the fourth place, a perfect lamb needed. The preparation for Jesus' last Passover with his disciples. A gracious difference manifested, a diligent search commanded, a furnished room supplied, and a perfect lamb needed. Beloved congregation, it was on the Friday before Good Friday when the Passover would be celebrated, and that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to Jerusalem to be the Passover Lamb himself. In our lives, then, it is the wisdom and goodness of the Lord that much of the future is hidden. But so it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was also part of his suffering, that all his life, while he walked upon the earth, then the cursed cross of Calvary was before him. That does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to Jerusalem with reluctance. Oh, Christ already, when he was 12 years old, has spoken those precious words, "Wished ye not that I must be in my Father's business." And in John 4, verse 34, that it was the meet to do the will of his Father and to finish his work. And do we not read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." And then it was the desire, oh, Christ has promised it in the council of peace. And now it was the desire of Christ, that he may pay the price, pay the dowry, and so free his church, that they may be pardoned of all of their sins. Then on the Saturday, the Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples, they have rested. And then on the next day, the first day of the week, Christ has sent two disciples to fetch an ass with a colt. And so he has come into Jerusalem. They were joined with others that have come from Jerusalem. And then the people have cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Unto him be all the glory. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Returned in the evening, Monday, went to the temple by renewal. The fig tree was cursed. The temple was cleansed. He is taught and returned. And then on Tuesday, has given much instruction in the temple in Matthew 22. And then we read of that great supper feast. And then the king was given to delight that there were many that have come that have accepted that invitation. But then there was one that had not a wedding garment. And to attend the holy supper of the Lord, then we need that wedding garment that has been merited by Christ, given by the Holy Spirit, and embraced by the arms of faith. And Matthew 23 has spoken the woes to the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew 24, in the evening when they have returned, when the disciples were given to see the temple, what manner of building it was, then Christ has spoken of the signs of the latter days, when the Son of God would come upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. And then in Matthew 25, Matthew 22, it was one out of many. But in Matthew 25, the parable of 10 virgins, they all had lamps, they all had a profession, but we read that there were five that were wise and five that were foolish. Thus that means that half of them were foolish. And then at the end of the chapter has spoken of us coming upon the clouds of heaven when the angels would separate the sheep from the goats. On Wednesday, what has transpired, it is not written, but it is thought. Oh, what a solemn thought, and to that end, a gracious difference manifested. There is spoken of Peter and John, the other disciples, and then there is spoken of one of them, that is one of 12. This true we have also heard. There were also others that were exercised with the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. And then before our text words, oh, those solemn words, as mentioned in each of the Gospels, Judas, and then in each Gospel it is stated, one of the 12. What a questions and what a troubles there can be with the Judas. Oh, Judas, he has heard the precious words of Jesus, has seen his wonderful works, was sent out to preach, has cast out the devils, had a special place among the disciples because he was appointed treasurer. And yet, it is written in the scriptures that it was not right with the Judas. Does not mean that Judas has not experienced anything. Does not mean that Judas was not given to rejoice in the things of the Lord. Does not mean that a Judas did not have zeal. Does not mean that Judas never had impressions. Oh, undoubtedly how glad that Judas was when the Lord has helped him when he was sent out to preach. But he has taken gifts as grace. And then undoubtedly there were times that Judas thought that everything was well, that surely he would go to heaven, that there was a time that he was deceived. Oh, congregation, then we see how far that it can go and yet not be the true work of the Lord, the saving work of the Holy Spirit. But now in this chapter, then it is clear that with Judas was no longer deceit, but that he was playing the part of an hypocrite, where it is thought that on Wednesday, we read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, that the love of money, not money itself, we need money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And he went to the Sanhedrin and asked how much he could receive if he would betray his master into their hands at a convenient time. It is possible that there were those among the Sanhedrin that sought as a special providence in favor of the Lord. But how wrong they were. And now we read those solemn words, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot," also another Judas among the disciples, "but separated." There's a profound matter when we are tempted in special ways by Satan, more profound as when with the Peter we are sifted, but the most profound is when Satan enters into a person. And then Calvin has written these matters concerning the words that Satan entered. He enters into the reprobate when he takes possession of our senses, overthrows the fear of God, extinguishes the light of reason, and destroys the feeling of shame. Thus, what a solemn beacon in God's word. Judas Iscariot experienced much, done much, and yet a reprobate. And then undoubtedly, then there are souls that are inquiring. But what is now the difference can come so close. Mankind can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. But what it now matters that a Judas was missing, which he has never received by the grace of God. We shall mention three. In the first place, never a true love unto the Lord. His word, his institutions, and his day. Then Judas, he has turned very religion, and there is much religion in the world, and there can be much rejoicing in our religion. It can be that there is a big change, but that there is not a renewal. A Judas could never say before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest all things, notwithstanding my sins, that evil heart falling into temptation. Thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. A Judas has never experienced that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. To be given to hate what God hates and to love what God hates. Not those tears of that godly sorrow. Judas has never experienced what Christ has spoken of in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn. And thirdly, that humility. That small making grace. But now to continue. Then in our text, a diligent search commanded. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Thus it is called the day of unleavened bread. And then it was commanded, because in our text it speaks of the Passover, the last Passover, that the Master has celebrated for his disciples. And then in Exodus 12, what a beautiful foreshadowment it is of the great Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, which has come in the fullness of time, that he would be the sacrifice before his Father, that he would satisfy justice, that he would pay the debt for his people. And then it was strictly commanded that in that feast, that on the day of the feast before the Passover would be celebrated, in that day, but also the 7 days thereafter. In Exodus 12, we read the Passover mentioned 7 times, and that unleavened bread 6 times. And then it was commanded that the houses need to be searched very diligently, that any leaven, that is yeast, boys and girls, that it must be searched out, and that it must be put away, because otherwise they could not partake of the Passover. And so it is also in the life of the church. Has Christ not commanded in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 28 and 29, so let a man examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the wine unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. Then it is necessary, that godly sorrow each time by renewal, profound impressions of our sinnership, and for the true child of God, we shall experience that he remains a sinner, and in that way the necessity for that Passover lamb. Then it is needful, do we not read in Psalm 19, that he would be kept from sins, presumptuous sins? And what are we now to understand by that leaven that needs to be searched out? We read thereof in different places in the scriptures. In Luke 12, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The Lord requires an upright and a pure confession. The Lord requires that what we speak with our tongue and our prayers, that it coincides with what lives in our heart. People of God, do we not have to say then, is it then not necessary, the same as before the Passover would be celebrated, that we are given to search diligently our heart, how it is also with the preparation for the Lord's Supper? And then in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, verse 5, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice, of wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity, of truth. And so we read in the form, based upon God's word, that all enmity, hatred, and envy must unfeignedly be laid aside, and a firm resolve to live in peace and unity with our neighbor. Thus concerning that leaven, that we are given to examine our hearts, how it is. Also concerning our sins, when there are unrepented sins, that we are given to confess, that we are given to repent, and that there may be a fleeing to that fountain that has been opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Because we read in Exodus 12, verse 15, when that leaven was not searched out, of course, possible that there would be some that they were not aware of. And so the church needs to continually ask for deeper uncovering light. But when there was knowingly leaven in the house, then it was strictly implied that soul shall be cut off. And now concerning the feast, then there was a preparation. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. That is a holy must. It is true, with this Passover it concerned a lamb. But what precious words. Oh, that divine must that has its foundation in the never-begun eternity, in the council of peace. Oh, that divine must. What Christ, where Christ has given himself from eternity to be that ransom. Wished ye not that I must be in my Father's business? All therefore Christ has come to Jerusalem, oh, to celebrate the Passover, to institute the Holy Supper before he would be that Passover lamb. And because of that must, we read of that must in verse 7. And to that end in verse 8, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. That may eat of the Lord's Supper that has its foundation in that holy must of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has come to Jerusalem, that he would be taken to the cross. And now the wonderful preparation for the church. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 304, the first four stanzas. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving will I bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. And what follows, Psalter 304, the first four stanzas. the preparation for Jesus' last Passover with his disciples. A gracious difference manifested, a diligent search commanded, and now thirdly, a furnished room supplied. And he sent Peter and John. The master is free. Also concerning his disciples, there were some disciples that have been led further and deeper than others. Think of the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. It was Peter and John and James, the same three disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, that they were led further than the others. And now in our text word, then we have Peter and John with the divine command, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. It's also very well possible that on Wednesday that Judas, because he was a treasure, that he also has purchased different things that were necessary for the Passover. It is not written. And then Peter and John, they became exercised with that preparation. There's also a blessing in the true life of the child of God when truly they become exercised, and not to misunderstand it. There's also only preparation concerning the Lord's Supper, only in a week of preparation, then we may put a question mark behind it. The Lord is not a land of outer darkness. Attendees, may I ask you, what is your ground and foundation of attending? Is it that we have attended before and therefore we feel that we must attend again, and then we can speak piously of that royal command, and it is a royal command? Have we perhaps made a savior of the Lord's Supper, or is there that life at the throne of grace, needing his favor, a smile, a word, an embrace, and even begging for a further leading? Because concerning the Passover, then it concerned the Lamb. It would not be thinkable to have the celebration of the Passover if there was no lamb. Then even the children would say, Father, 'tis the evening of the Passover, and there is no lamb, so it cannot be a Passover. Nevertheless, then the child of God doeth well in a week of preparation to closely examine his heart concerning those three points which are necessary to be known, that godly sorrow over sin that leadeth to repentance, humble thereunder, a burden, a grief. Then in the second place, a saving knowledge of the Son of God. We do not speak of the degree, But Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. And then in the third place, sanctification, a godly life in the way of gratitude. And then Peter and John, they both said, where wilt thou that we prepare? Then they needed the guest chamber. Then the Lord is also seeking out hearts where he may richly dwell with his Spirit, and that room may be made for that precious Savior, that those souls may come to a saving knowledge and to be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. The Spirit is seeking out hearts where that Passover lamb, where room may be made by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit for the saving of souls. And he said unto them, behold, that is already a blessing and a privilege for the true child of God, when there may be an other behold in a week of preparation. For Peter and John, it was in the way of the Lord's special providence. Also a blessing when that may take place in such a week. Although let us never make a foundation of our salvation by itself, providential deliverances, the answers upon prayer, although the true church of God, and the closer they may be at the throne of grace, the more they shall experience of those special beholds also in providence. But what does the child of God now desire and need? A special behold in the way of instruction concerning the Passover lamb. And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. Why did Jesus not simply say to Peter and John, in such a house, owned by so and so, on a certain street? Oh, undoubtedly, because of Judas. Because Jesus, oh, in his great love for his sheep, then he had that vehement desire to celebrate this last Passover and institute the sacrament of the Lord's Supper without being disturbed. Because if Judas would know it, then undoubtedly, then he would tell the leaders and they would be interrupted. And now they received special instructions that they would find a man bearing a pitcher of water, and also what they had to say, and ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat? That is based upon that must, also in connection with may, but I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And then Peter and John has went, and they have not asked Jesus, whether there was such a room, how it would be possible that they would meet such a man. They have not asked, would that man now be willing to give us up a room for Christ and his disciples? No, they have went, where is the guest chamber? We read in Revelations 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And so, boys and girls, we can picture it. Peter and John simply trusting and believing the word of Jesus. They have went, and they have found that man with a pitcher of water. They have followed him into the house. They have entered into the house. And then they have said to the master of that house, to the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And that owner, oh, then surely, general thought is, had knowledge of Jesus and his disciples. Many commentators think the same room where Jesus is met on the evening of the resurrection. And now we can understand, it is clear that that owner of that room has so willingly and so gladly given that chamber for Jesus and his disciples. And so it is with the church when the Lord works with the Spirit. Oh, what are they not willing to give? Profound impressions. A never-dying soul, deep impressions of their sinnership, and the need to be saved and to be reconciled. Then they are willing to give all. We read in Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me my heart. Have you done that, young and old? Have you given the Lord your heart? Lord, ask for it. It's commanded in the Bible. And now by nature, no one is able, and worse, no one is willing. But when the Lord now begins that good work, when he sheds that love abroad in the heart, when those divine realities become real, then I read in Psalm 110, verse 3, a willing people in the day of his power. Although, in the beginning, then those souls think, if the Lord was now as willing to save me as I'm willing to be saved, then I would be saved this evening hour. But in the further uncovering, then we learn not only unable, but unwilling to lose everything of self, and to be saved by free and sovereign grace by a Savior who has finished everything for his church. And now the wonder for those disciples. Because we read, and he shall show you, and that has taken place. Oh, how astonished Peter and John must have been when that good man of the house, that he took him in and he showed him a large upper room. And then we read, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. Thus then in the first place, then we read of a large room. In the second place, an upper room. To be elevated above the things of the world, that is also a blessing. Oh, hear this only in part. I read in Revelation 7 that the Apostle John was given to see that multitude with those long garments with the palm branches in their hand. And then in that upper room above, then he saw all those saints washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ah, that is the blood of the great Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. John has pointed him out. John the Baptist at the River Jordan. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And thus we have a large room, an upper room, but then we also read that it was furnished. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. A week of preparation. And then it is such a blessing, it is so needful to be brought into such an upper room of seclusion. Of course, not always so simple. Oh, it can be for mothers, the midst of a busy family, fathers at work. Then how quickly a week can go by. And then there can be that accusation, no upper room yet, no preparation. The Lord's Day is quickly approaching. Also the command of the king concerning that preparation. Then in the second place, an upper room with God's word. That is the guide also concerning the Lord's Supper. In the third place, the upper room of unceasing prayer. Ah, begging the Lord. A little instruction. Correction, further leadings, a token of his favor, a smile, not to come with something. How busy the true child of God can be to receive something that they may have something to attend. The poet of old has said, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. But let it not become form and duty. Oh, that upper room of meditation. To be given to reflect on the past, the present, but above all, because concerning that preparation, we have mentioned it, It is true. There were other things that were also present. The bitter herbs, unleavened bread. And after the captivity, it seemed, because in the first Passover, there were different things that were different with the first Passover when they were in Egypt and later Passovers. Then the wine has also been added. And those bitter herbs, they refer to the bitter bondage in Egypt. And that is not a strange thing for the true child of God to be under the taskmasters, to be beaten ruthlessly by Moses, because they do not keep the law. It was all necessary. But sweet meditations and exercises concerning the Passover lamb, an upper room of deeper and further uncovering, an upper room of examination, an upper room concerning the broken bread and the poured out wine. Thus concerning that command for Peter and John concerning that room, oh, a blessing to experience a behold that concerns especially that prophetical office of Christ. And now concerning that furnished upper room that concerns the kingly office, because the hearts were inclined and everything, it was a room all furnished, prepared for the celebration of the Passover. And then fourthly, and that is the crucial point, a perfect lamb needed. That lamb had to be without blemish, may not be boiled in water, roasted by fire. It need to be prepared, O people of God. May the Lord grant such an upper room unto us. Exercises granted by the Spirit to examine concerning those three points which are so necessary to be known, not only once, each time by renewal, but all in that upper room of seclusion, alone with the Lord, to be exercised with the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given himself to be sacrificed to pay the price. And then we read, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Oh, he is fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out in his lips. And now for souls that have come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Then the King has declared, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant unto us and our children, young and old, as such a place of seclusion, as such a room of self-examination, but also a room of instruction, tokens of thy favor, O Lord. Convert what is unconverted, and wilt thou remember thy true children? Grant a prayer for one another. Watch over us in this week, in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Keep us under thy good care. and thy kind protection. Keep us from sin and temptation. Oh, above all, from an unprepared and an unreconciled death. Lord, bless the labors in the church, the catechism classes. Wilt thou help instructors and students, the visitations, and bring us also together for a weekday service further to examine our hearts and our souls. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies to our dwellings, dismiss us in thy favor, pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 384, the five stanzas. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. O lead me, if in sin I stray, in paths of life do go. And what follows? 384, the five stanzas. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.